Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via our website, rai.com.ar. You can listen to our program via internet as a podcast, and you can also find podcasts about different topics on that website, on that URL, which is rai.com.ar. I am Fernando Farias, and I am bringing you this program that has been produced in my home studio in the neighborhood of Montserrat in Buenos Aires, as the lockdown continues in the Argentine capital, which is the area most affected by coronavirus. And that means that RAI's staff keeps on working from home. But as we've been telling you, we are very active, producing loads of content that is available on our website, rai.com.ar, and also on our new YouTube channel with content in 8 languages. Check that YouTube channel out. You can look up for it as RAI Argentina. And remember that you can also contact us via email. We are receiving the traditional shortwave listeners reception report at qslrai@gmail.com. Send your reception report there and we'll reply with a QSL card. On today's program, we'll be resuming the news. We're going to have a weekly overview of the most important news stories, of the most important headlines. And also, we'll be talking to an Argentine in Shanghai. And since this person we'll be talking to is a musician, we'll be enjoying some music produced by him. Okay, let's get started now with the news. Negotiations with bondholders continue, and the deadline may be extended beyond June the 2nd. Economy Minister Martin Guzman assured there was an important step forward in talks with creditors to restructure Argentina's $66 billion debt and avoid a default. Jujuy's government may be reopening schools on June 15. The northwestern province was among the first to suspend classes back in March, but since the lockdown started, has had only 5 cases of coronavirus. The government of Buenos Aires province keeps a shantytown in isolation. The Villa Azul of Wilde in the Buenos Aires city suburbs has seen a surge in cases of COVID-19. Health minister admitted in hospital for tickling in his left arm. 74-year Gine González García spent only one night at a Buenos Aires clinic for a medical checkup and has been discharged already, denying he was tested for coronavirus and assuring he's okay. Anti-lockdown protests took place in Buenos Aires and in Tigre. About 200 people gather in Plaza de Mayo to complain about what they deem as restrictions on people's liberties and the quarantine's impact on the economy, despite government's warnings. Buenos Aires University suspends conference by Brazilian former judge and minister Sergio Moro. The ex-member of President Jair Bolsonaro's cabinet was scheduled to head a lecture via Zoom on anti-corruption fight at the Buenos Aires School of Law. But he assured this was cancelled because of what he called political pressure. Femicide Ricardo Barreda dies at 83. He had been sentenced to jail for the murder of four women in 1992 in the city of La Plata, his wife, his two daughters, and his mother-in-law. And these were the news on Rai Argentina Today. Okay, continuing with our program in English, this is Rai Argentina to the World. As you know, we've been talking to Argentines around the world about how they are, well, dealing with this unusual, unprecedented situation, the pandemic, the lockdown, the quarantine, coronavirus, etc. And now we're going to be talking to an Argentine in the place where the outbreak started, which is China, Charlie Tonelli, who is in Shanghai. Hello, Charlie, how's it going?
Hi, Fred, how are you? Pretty good over here.
Well,
how are you guys coping over there?
Yeah, well, we are here in Buenos Aires, the situation is a little harder because apparently we are starting to go up the hill. I mean, reaching the summit of this peak of cases. But in the rest of the country, the situation has been a little easier, and many places are easing down restrictions. But well, I wanted to start by asking you about yourself. I mean, how you're originally from Buenos Aires and you ended up in Shanghai. How? Tell us your story.
Well, there's a lot. There's many years between Buenos Aires and Shanghai and many places. But yes, that's I'm from Buenos Aires. I left the country 25 years ago, maybe. I moved to the United States. I lived the last 20 years mostly either in New York or Miami. And 2 years ago, I moved to Shanghai. I made the third big move of my life. Came with my girlfriend to live in China, and we've been here for I would say a year and a half. But of course, the last half has been rather peculiar, as you can imagine.
I suppose, yes. And you do what? You produce music there. You play live in Shanghai. What's your occupation over there in China?
Well, I'm actually a producer, more of like a audiovisual and advertising. So music is always been a passion. I've always worked related to music. I work in music TV. I work in radio retail. I'm a music and digital radio, but has never been. But musicianship has never been my focus on my number one activity. However, and interestingly, ever since I moved to China, I found whether a renewed passion or purpose or focus. And in the last year and a half, it's been much more central to what I'm doing. So yeah, it's been mostly producing and Not too much playing live yet, but mostly producing, and we'll just put out a new album. That's pretty much has been it.
Okay. We'll talk about your latest production in a couple of minutes. But I wanted to ask you now about the lockdown in China. What's the situation like in Shanghai, in the area where you live? I know that Shanghai is a pretty large city, but what's the situation like now, late May, that's about 5 months after the outbreak started in Wuhan?
Well, for us now, it's been back to normal for a while already. The government, and you need to understand that in China, I mean, local governments have sufficient authority, so every area, province or city, they don't have had different timing as to whatever restrictions were in place at any given time. Shanghai has eased most of the restrictions, well, all of them, over a month and a half ago. We have not seen new cases in a while now, which is amazing if you consider that we are 24 million people and we are a couple of hours away from Wuhan, where everything started. Hubei, the province where Wuhan is the capital of, it's just next, it limits borders Shanghai. So we had only 500 cases all in all.
In the whole of Shanghai?
In all of Shanghai, out of 24 million people.
That's amazing.
That's incredible. And that is a testament to how efficient a proper quarantine and isolation really is, because that's the only difference. The only difference was that cities in China really went into a strict lockdown early on, and Chinese authorities have very low tolerance for sense of humor, things like, you know, I'm going to dress like a doctor to see my girlfriend, and I'm going to hide in the...
Nothing like that, in the trunk.
That kind of thing doesn't fly here. Yeah. No. So, and if you think of, like, really literally being next door within the same country where everything started, and we only had 500 cases, and I think that's 6 dead, which, of course, one person dead is one too many, but...
Yeah, 24 million.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's been I guess like almost 2 months that there's no official restrictions, but you still see it out there. Most of the people, I would say a good 90% of the people, they wear masks, even though it's not required. It's not required officially, but a number of stores, retail and restaurants, will not let you in without one. Even if the city does not impose it, the commerce, you know, and shops will tell you, well, we don't care, you cannot come in here. Like, you can't come here without your underwear. Well, the same way you can't come here without a mask. So, and people have been very, very, I mean, in that way, they're very... conscience of the common good. I guess culturally, it's sacrificing for the common good is something that to them comes much more naturally, if you will. So, but you see the results.
Yeah, of course, and that was going to be my exact point, because that's what everybody wants. For example, here in Argentina, to go back to normal, but a strict lockdown yields these results after only 2 months, because you say that for the past 90 days, you've been living practically like in pre-pandemic time. Are we talking about like restaurants, live music, cinema, theater, gyms? All of that is back in Shanghai now.
Correct. And you could see it, say, I practice yoga, and in yoga, the gym where I go, they have separated the mats a little bit more, but it's not draconian. It's not like you say, like, oh, there's two people in class. It's just, I would say that it's like 70% capacity. And again, that's the decision that the gym has taken. But the shopping malls are open, museums are open. Of course, the city itself is not, because we are close to foreigners. So now that the country is very aware of this. We did our part. We pretty much shut down our economy to a halt, because for most of February, this was no one lived. And here again, when they isolate and say, well, we're going to quarantine, that meant no one was allowed to leave their homes.
And this was when, Charlie? February.
Mostly all of February were, I mean, one... it was asked that only one person per household would leave, or per household would leave their homes to buy groceries.
And this was a nationwide thing in the whole of China.
That was the Shanghai. Every district or every city or district, a political denomination has their capacity to make their own rules. Of course, Wuhan was severely more restricted and for way longer than Shanghai was. But for Shanghai, it was the quarantine. If you look back, the heavy strict quarantine was maybe less than a month, and look at how well they controlled it. Right now, it's not. I mean, like I said, most people still wear masks, but there's no paranoia. There's no the activities at the subways are back to running normal. of course, the contact tracing and the testing that China can do, I don't know of any other country, seriously speaking, has the capacity or the willingness to do it. I mean, I lived 20 years in the United States, and we all seen. I mean, we've all seen what's happening there. And it's very hard to enforce. People don't want to wear masks. People don't want to be controlled. That's what the government can do, and there's the cultural.
That's what the people is willing to accept.
People. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Of course.
Right. I mean, in here when they. And right now we all know that this is deadly and this is serious, but when they shut down the city, that was at the end of January. It was new, and no one went out to burn flags or tires or, you know, complain about their liberties being taken away. Everybody just went home and quarantined.
Now it's back to normal.
So for us, seeing it from the outside, if you will. I mean, I don't know now what's the inside or what's the outside, but seeing it from where we are, it's like doing a half-assed quarantine. I mean, excuse my
French. No, that's okay.
But it is
it's ineffective, and it drags the situation for forever.
Exactly, because you're still not living normally, and you're not accomplishing anything.
So it's like, well, why?
You can do this really hard and control it, or you kind of drag it on and kind of see if maybe something works, and it lasts forever, and at the end of the day, you're barely better than you were before.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, then you have to, you're talking about what people as a culture are willing to
accept,
tolerate, or contribute, or accept. Exactly.
Yeah, Charlie, tell me, you stay in touch with your family, your people, your relatives, friends here in Argentina? How they're hanging in? They are all okay?
I do, of course. I have I have family in Argentina. I have most of my closest friends from growing up, from high school, are there, and it's. It's a concern. Luckily, no one from my close circle has been affected, which is, from a health standpoint, of course. Economically, everybody's kind of affected. But at least, health-wise, no one that I know has in Argentina or the U.S. But it has been interesting how it's been. How the situation reversed, because when it started, most of her friends and family were worried about us, and well, are you going to stay there? Where were you? And somewhere through April or the end of March, it already the situation had turned on its head, and we were we were concerned about everybody else, and we felt like we couldn't be safer anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie,
it's been great. I just wanted to ask you about the latest work by Electricion, the musical project that you lead, and I wanted to play one of the songs to be the one that really blew my mind. What can you tell me about the work and about this particular track?
I'm really touched that you appreciate it. That's that song. It's a part of a diptych. There's two songs in the album that kind of work as the obverse and reverse of the same coin. They're the two sides of a story, if you will. It's gone. They both are about a separation, a breakup, the end of a relationship. And Gone takes the typical approach of looking at it from the point of the person that's being left behind. And to be the one, it analyzes or it looks into the often overlooked pain of having to leave someone that you love very much. And for whatever reason, love is gone. That doesn't mean that you don't care about the person anymore. You you, of course, you keep killing, but you have to carry this this unrecognized pain of having to break up with someone and being seen as the villain in the story. You cannot even cope with that, and that hands it to be the one, you know, to be the one that has to do the breaking up. And, it was kind of like, again, that's there's the two sides on those two songs.
Okay.
And it was sung by a Russian singer, Alyona Lee, who's been, to me, has done a fantastic job with that, with the track.
Where did you record these songs, in China or in the US?
I started writing them in the US. I produced some of them in the album in New York. All of them were finished in China. So the whole album is a very critical 2-year period in my life when I changed, I appended everything. I left, I changed the continent, and I put my life upside down. So the album works as a journal, a bit of all of that big changes in my life. And all of the vocals were recorded here in Shanghai. Which was an experience in and of itself. At one point, the album was going to be called Café Américain, like the
Café Casablanca film.
Yes, exactly, exactly, Casablanca, there you go. Because in a way, I felt there was a lot of parallelisms because, you know, if you think of Casablanca, that a movie, I mean, Casablanca is in Africa, but yet there's nobody from Africa in the movie. Yeah. There are Americans, Europeans, French, Germans. So everybody happens to be there, but you know, no one is from there, and that's how I felt. And, like everybody in the album, at one point, I looked around.
You're obviously Humphrey Bogart in that film.
I wanted, yes, but that was kind of my role because everybody, it was the studio, and everybody came
coming to you.
And looks aside, and coolness aside, but that was the role. You know, like no one was from China. The engineer was French. The singers were American, or you know, Abney was Argentinian. So we were all here for circumstances, you know, for different circumstances, but no one was from here. And anyway, so that was okay. Kind of like an interesting take of the album.
Charlie, where can people find more about your projects, about Electricians or previous groups that you headed? You have an Instagram account, Facebook, the Electrician, the AP is on Spotify, I know.
Electrician, is my Instagram account is where, or Facebook account is so unique a name that it's Electrician everywhere. You can find here from my main project is The Hour Strange, but in The Hour Strange, I collaborate with Jet Kelly. She's my other half in the band, but now we're separated by a world. I mean, she's in New York, I'm in Shanghai. So obviously producing and working on our band is slower than it used to be. So now Electrician kind of like take most of my time.
Well, that's great. Well, that was Charlie. Thank you very much. That was very interesting. I'm gonna be playing now that particular song from Electrician's latest EP, Polaroids. The song's "To Be the One," sung by Alyona Lee. And I wanted to thank you very much for this contact. And I hope you stay safe. And well, all the best.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it and enjoy the chat. If anything, look at us and see there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, we're already over, so it means that there's you're doing the right thing.
Thank you very much. such a great track. To Beat the One by Electricians. The vocals are by Aliona Lee. This is the musical project of Charlie Tonelli, who was a guest on our show talking to Rai Argentina to the world from Shanghai in China. And with this fantastic music, we come to the end of this edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English, that is produced from home, as we are still in a lockdown here in Buenos Aires, including Rai's staff. And that means that I'm producing the program from my home studio here in Montserrat neighborhood, Buenos Aires. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. This was Rai Argentina to the World in English. Check out our YouTube channel, Rai Argentina, and listen to this and other programs on rai.com.ar. Have a good weekend. See you next time. All the best.